Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 13. Therefore, said I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. For a few moments, saints, we'd like to consider the thought in mind, digging out and digging in. Digging out and digging in. Now, for some of us, just that very title is called spasms. If you did not have the access to someone's plow, if your shovel was missing, or if it wasn't missing, but you were, someone had to do it. And we have, by this time, of course, you are all weather experts. You only need to know one word, nor'easter. You don't know nothing else about precipitation, winds, and all you need to know is a nor'easter. That'll keep you up at night. Amen. But we are, when it comes to that, again, certainly that's just a, you know, meteorological kind of definition about the weather and the conditions and what the onset of us. And of course, they have it specifically named for our region, you know, our part of the country, you know, where the nor'easter basically in some ways is basically literal, that our part of the United States, we get the residue, but the brunt of these things that come across our country. And all that being said, saints, is again reality, you know, is that in order for you to be able to move forward sometimes, you know, you're used to, we're used to having cars that just turn them on and we can get moving. Amen. We'll go outside and start walking. But all of that has hindrances and even causes your life to start to cease. And of course, if you just slept, amen, if you slept the forecast, then you're just eating whatever was left in the refrigerator. My point is, again, that if you know that something's coming, you should be prepared. And this sounded like, and you'll see in a minute, this sounded like, said, wait a minute, he said, digging out and digging in. And someone in their mind is saying, shouldn't you dig in first to get out? But that's what the forecast is telling you to do with the snow. I'm talking about what you do in life. Amen. In life, again, sometimes you have to dig in, dig out. You know, you have to dig out. You have to put your shoulder to the wheel before you can move to the next place. And when you look at Nehemiah's situation, again, you remember. Now, some of you were not here all of the time, but just a small, slight preview and a catching up that these people here in Jerusalem had been in this condition for such a long time. And now God has sent someone to come to be their rescuer. Amen. Nehemiah comes to town, and with the right and the authority of the Persian king, he came in with resources to help these people who had been in this plight for all these years to get out of the condition that they were in. God, amen. When no one else thinks about you, God will. Amen. And amen. And God has a way, and I won't get too far with this, but the Lord has a way in which when you're at the bottom of the totem pole, when your name does not come up on the registry, amen, where your neighborhood is not on the
You know what I'm saying? You go outside and you see the plows going through everybody's street but yours.
Ain't that right? God has a way of remembering you.
Amen. And so God had sent Nehemiah down to help these people, to lead them, to charge them, to assist them, to guide them again. Because I thought about this before, and I mentioned the Lord because of this, is that this is, again, not a situation that was unknown to these people. They lived in this. See, sometimes you can be in a situation so long, you get used to it. Not only you get used to how the living is and the lifestyle is, but sometimes you get so used to it, it becomes normal. If you use the expression, it becomes your new normal. Even though it's not good, even though it's not healthy, even not the way things should be, after a while, when nothing is done, cares no more, after a while, you get used to living in these kind of conditions. Are you following me here? But God did not want them to remain as such. And so he sent someone down to see about them. And of course, again, as we reiterated to you, that when it became known to those others who had been staying there, those on the outskirts, those, again, who had not had the Jews in mind, those who probably could have done something about the situation, but again, the Jews were not on the register. They was not on the list. They were not the constituents that they wanted, because they could not give anything back to them. Are y'all following me here? In other words, even though they were constituents because they were in the province there, these Jews could not lend anything back to these other folks. That's how it is sometimes. Amen. If you can't quid pro quo, that means if you can't do nothing for me, if I do something for you, then I ain't going to do nothing for you. Amen. That's how it goes. Amen. But God sent Nehemiah down. So went down there again. I said before, I don't think he was naive again, but didn't expect him to come in here and begin to get things moving and rolling without some opposition. Hey, are you with me here? And again, we said before that they became a threat to what was going on. At first, they were a joke. That's why when people see, you know, what's going on, sometimes people even see your lies. I don't know about you, when you come to the Lord and they see that again, that things have changed, they don't think there's something going to last. Ain't that right? And they thought something happened to you, something wrong with you, you know. You got religion. But after a while, if it was for real, it will be discovered that this is the real thing. And this ain't religion. This ain't turning over a new leaf. This is not reforming myself. It's nothing like that. I've met somebody, and not just anybody. I met the person, the only Savior, and it's for real. Are you with me here? But again, as you know as well as I do, again, that don't last. I mean, it'll go away for a while, but they'll only leave you alone for a season. And so Nehemiah began to work, and the people were encountering this persecution. And persecution is not just people saying things about, which is part of it, but persecution is when folks come after you. It's one thing they just talk about you. It's another thing when they go out of their way to make things bad for you. So persecution arose. And so Nehemiah then began to look to the Lord. And one thing I want to say at the onset, as I look through this, I saw it before, but I wanted to mention again, when you look at the book of Nehemiah, you do not see where God directly speaks to the people. In other words, God is working. He put it on Nehemiah's heart. But you don't see here in this account where there's a prophetic word going forth. You don't see God saying to Nehemiah. You don't see a verbal exchange with him. But what you do see is prayer. Come on. What you do see, and if you don't see God talking to him, that does not mean you don't talk to God. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You heard that little thing they had going on here where somebody made this side comment about one of the folks, one of the Christians is talking about the Lord and talking about, you know, that something she apologized later on, but it's too late. Right. It's talking about how, they talk to God. And then when the person said, and the Lord, he speaks to me, then she said, then you must be mental. Y'all didn't see that? Yeah, they on TV. I ain't gonna tell you the program, I don't watch it. But it was said. And see that even though the apology was there, the attitude still remained. See, and I'm not here to give a broad description of in terms of this living for the Lord kind of thing, but I'm here to tell you this, that we serve a living God. Amen. God ain't on a totem pole. Amen. God, no, he's not out there, you know, somewhere. He's not a generic God. God deals and communicates with his people. And I'm not telling you also because there's some conniptions for believers about how God communicates, whether he speaks to you. He definitely does it through his word. And the Spirit of God also speaks through folks. Amen. But here what we're saying to you is that we don't see that, but we do see God. Are you with me now? The key thing is this, that they knew when certain things happened, they talked to the Lord. And the Lord's response was not just a verbal thing, but it's by God's providence. That when they talked to God, God moved on what they prayed to him about. So if you're waiting for God to send you an email, you need to get up. You talk to him and then use discernment and faith and trust, and he'll show you that he heard you. So Nehemiah, they continue to do the work. And let me just walk through this and lead up to the text. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And you heard this last week. He spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their wall, their stone wall. They ridicule them. They mocking them. And then Nehemiah prays. He said, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity and lay not their sin, let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. We went over this last week, and be clear again to you that Nehemiah's prayer is not a model for how you pray all the time. This was a prayer of what you call imprecation. That means to call down a curse or harm or something on someone, seeking vengeance upon a person. No, but Nehemiah's prayers, again, we said before, he was not praying just for God to get them back. No, he was praying for God to cover their backs. He was praying for God's righteous response to the unrighteous way his people were being treated. Yes, but we know as believers that we are not to respond vindictively, yes, or with vengeance. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Yes, that God holds, at the end of the day, God holds the prerogative how he wants to deal with your enemies or with people. We are to love our enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, if God wants to do something other or more than that, that's his responsibility. That's his role. Does that mean people should walk on you? No, but again, vindictiveness is not something that should be in your spirit. Because when you wait for God to handle it, he will not give you vindictiveness in your heart, but he will vindicate you. Yeah. So what's the difference? Vindictiveness is revenge spirit. Get somebody back. Eye for an eye kind of thing. Vindication means that God will demonstrate who was right in the first place.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes when it comes to God's vindication, it takes longer than your vindictiveness. See, vindictiveness is when you jump out there and you want to get somebody back right there, or you want something done. Vindication takes some time. You got to walk in your integrity. And if you walk in your integrity, don't get pulled away from it. God in his own time will show up. He'll pull the covers on what's happening.